Start with blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, we'll start with prayer. And put your prayer request in the room if you can. And amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Matthew. Amen. Still going to keep you in prayer, though. Even though the Lord's answering, you know, just keep praying. Amen and amen. And so please bow your hearts, everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath. It's been an intense week, as it usually is, and we thank you for the trials that bring on the smiles. Thank you so much for changing our hearts in a way that amazes us even after many years of walking with you. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy when that day comes. And thank you for teaching us how to see the signs of the times. We know we can't tell the day of the hour. It's just strange how people actually believe that they can do that. But thank you for giving us an understanding that we can know what will happen next. We just don't know when. Which not only keeps us humble, but keeps us ready. And so thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance, everyone on the radio, everyone on the phone, and everyone that's doing the work all around the world. And there are many now, Father, and thank you so much for them, especially those large numbers that are coming into the church that we were talking with last few weeks from Papua New Guinea and South Africa and other areas. Thank you for blessing them with a desire to embrace the truth. It's like we always said, Father, we have brothers and sisters all over this world. We just don't know them, and they don't know us yet. And we can't be conceited and think we are the only remnant of the seed. And so thank you for blessing us even there, keeping us faithful and humble. Please bless our gathering today, as you always do when we wait on you to change the showbread, with your presence. And so thank you for blessing us and giving us an opportunity to go into your word and to grow. And thank you for accepting this prayer that we offer unto you in the best of our ability, which always falls far short of the name we pray in. And that name is your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I'll try to remember to mention this again later, but we're going to have a church meeting soon. I'll probably end up emailing everybody that's registered for the conference room what the agenda will be, I guess, and then the date. I don't know when we're going to do it, but we got to get together online here and discuss some things, and because the Lord's hand's moving, and we got work. And so praise his mighty name. But anyway, we are... Oh, I want to welcome some new people up there on the top. Frankie, and there was an Anthony a minute ago, and I guess he fell out. And maybe he'll come back, hopefully. And everybody that's on the radio and on the phone. And if you have a praise, you could send a PM to what... later on when we do the praises and testimonies... Many moderators can take your praises also. You can email them as well. I have quite a few already stacked up here. So anyway, we're on question number one in the last book of this study that we have been doing for many years. Okay, let's see. I'm just curious as to when we started this. Let me go to the site, click that hidden link, and... Well, 2011, we were still doing it, so I'd have to go back into the previous studies when we used to use Spirit of Prophecy on Sabbath. Let's see when we started that, because this took us a long time because it was 33 lessons, 33 books about the last days and the way the people will be. Yeah, I guess that's when we started. Yeah, that's when we stopped doing the Spirit of Prophecy on Sabbath day. And so, okay, we have been doing this since 2011. And we've probably got a few more months left to do it. You know, so anyway, we're on question number one. And this lesson is all about becoming a Christian. It says, the title is, for this little booklet, is Will You Become a son or daughter of God. And yes, this is also, for those that are new, this is also the study notes for those that plan to be baptized into the name Jesus Christ, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, like the Bible says to do it, and then become an official member of the church. So, first question. What two classes of people are depicted in the Scriptures? And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 is the answer. Thank you, Brother Sean. I guess Brother Gorin is having those computer issues again. Keep him in your prayers, everybody. I mean, it's back and forth with his computer. So 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." You know, if you are one of the remnant people, this is an easy thing to see, as Jesus was clear about who our brethren is when he said, "It is by their fruits ye shall know them." And because we have eyes that see, we understand the fruits he spoke of was all about, you know, obeying his Father. And specifically when it comes to his law. And again, we don't keep the law to get saved. We keep it because we are saved. In other words, the Christian that truly accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and not just offer him lip service as Jesus prophesied many will do, because we know what it means to accept him as Lord. His law is then written upon our hearts. For it's plainly written in Jeremiah 31, verses 33 to 34, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." And we, according to prophecy and prophetic symbols, you know, symbolization and definition and whatnot, we are the house of Israel today. That name is only put on the obedient flock. Okay? And you can see that from Genesis to Revelation. And so, yes, replacement theology is correct. It's actually prophesied in the Old Testament. It is declared in the New. And even Jesus himself speaks of it, as do the apostles. And I do have somewhat of a short study on that on the bottom of my Who is Israel page, which actually became a video years later. But anyway, it goes on. Let me just start it over. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Let me stop there for a moment. If you think about that, he's the one putting it there, and he's the one that declares he'll put it there, and he is God. And being believers in that which is written and believers in him, we have to understand we don't keep the law because, you know, we're trying to make it to heaven, you know. I mean, the Jews, that's what they do. That's what they think they can do. They can't. He can't write it in their hearts because they don't accept his Son as Savior. He's the one that's going to be doing the writing. And so, you know, he's the one that etched it on Mount Sinai. He's the one that was talking to Moses and everybody in the New Testament. You can see that all throughout. Yes, and we have a study online all about that too. But the fact is, he's the one that's going to be putting it there. And this is one of the reasons you see the way people react to us in the world and why we're declared as peculiar in the Old Testament or undefiled or virgins in the New. And because we are strange when it comes to the way the world describes us being strange. And some of them, mostly the Catholics do this, but then since the Catholics have control over a lot of denominations now, just about everybody calls us a cult. But the true definition, and that's why I did that one page about the six signs of a cult according to the Bible, as well as history. And then it, years later, became a video. It's clear that the Roman Catholic Church is the actual cult, the main one on the planet, but because of the power behind it, the political power behind it, no one's going to bow to that reality as a mass. They'll do it as individuals. And, you know, I'm one of them, actually, because I was Roman Catholic. And so when I found out that it was a cultic teachings, in other words, the word cult means you're doing something that you invented that can't be found in Scripture. Well, 86.2% of Roman Catholic dogma is not found in Scripture. And dogma is their way of saying doctrine. It's not found in Scripture. And so they're actually the cult. But then that's how the devil always works. He'll always accuse you of what he is doing. And that works well for him because he's got a lot of people on his side. And so this is why he says when he puts the law in our inward parts and writes them in our hearts that he becomes our God and we become his people. And that's how easy it is to be able to see who is part of our number. People can act like they keep on. I mean, you know, I run into people on the street all the time. It says, oh, yeah, I keep the Ten Commandments. Really? What about the fourth one? Do you keep the seventh day holy? I said, well, which day is holy? I mean, you can pick any day you want. And that kind of, that proves it hasn't been written there. Because if it was written there, they'd know. You know, it's part of my up and coming, you know, the series that I'm doing about gaining that perfection. One of the things that a lot of us lack, and especially the young and the truth, as we know, they don't really, a lot of people don't really know how to keep Sabbath. And so I'm going to be sharing some information in regards to why it's so important. This day is so important. Because, yes, the one who wrote the Ten Commandments is also the one that said, please keep this day holy. And you could use the same, you know, like a lot of the comebacks that I could use on the street in regards to, oh, you can pick any day out of seven. I says, all right, well, then let's all pretend we go back 6,000 years and we're in the Garden of Eden and there's seven trees and the Lord points at one and he says, okay, you don't eat that tree, you're going to get kicked out of the garden. Then Adam would go, well, I'll just pick any one of the seven. I'll choose not to eat that. He's still going to get kicked out of the garden, though, because he didn't, you know, he ate from the wrong tree. So their theology is flesh-born. And yeah, and the fourth commandment's the only one. Thanks. The fourth commandment is the only one that literally has a prophetic statement in it. It has the word remember, because we know what the prophet Daniel said, and we know what we're seeing in our own lifetime, as well as what the apostles prophesied in regarding God's law after the cross of Christ and all the statements that they made in the scriptures in regards to those that keep the Ten Commandments and those that don't. It says to remember the seventh day to keep it holy. Why would the Lord literally waste time adding a word like remember? He doesn't gild the lily. He doesn't beat around bushes. He says it like it is. This is why he's so happy to declare when someone doesn't have any guile that he happened, you know, like Jesus actually mentioned Nathan in that respect. Anyway, I can't remember the guy's name accurately. But the thing here is, the word remember means we're going to be taught to forget it. And that's why the overwhelming majority of the people out there keep Sunday holy. They actually think. There's a Bible verse to back that up. Because, as the other prophecy said in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, they're following after their pastors. They're going to, you know, walk the way they want to walk, and just the man we call them Christians just to take away their shame. Thanks, Sean. And so that's more or less what that prophetic verse says. I mean, if you took all the symbols out of the verse and put it in English, it just means in the last days, all the churches are going to be claiming Jesus Christ Lord, but they're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. They're going to walk the way they want to walk, but they want us to call them Christians just to take away their shame. And it's a sad state of affairs. As a matter of fact, I was doing a study this morning in regards to Amos chapter 8, verse 11, and how they're all going to be running to and fro trying to figure out what the Lord would have them do. But that's after the plagues, right? Because Amos 8:11 isn't for now. It is for after the plagues. But I still mentioned it many times in videos as well, as it is part of today's reality. And there's a reason for that. There are still people out there embracing the scriptures. There are still people out there that are open to the truth that we share. And there are still people that are being blessed and coming into the movement and into the truth. Yeah. But the day's going to come when the censer's dropped in the sanctuary or in the most holy place, and the plagues will start. And then the people that didn't believe what we were saying, they're going to be looking for a Bible every chance they can to try to figure out what's going on, because now they have absolute, overwhelming, undeniable truth and proof that the Christian God is the real one and the seven last plagues are hitting. But they can't find anybody to give them the truth because they've been trusting their pastors, the wolves that they call pastors. And they've been so used to telling us to shut up and they want to walk the way they want to walk, that they're not going to be able to embrace what we have to share with them. And so in order to get to that mindset, Satan's got to deal with over 7 billion people right now. If the plague started tomorrow, he's got over 7 billion people he's got to manipulate and brainwash, spiritually brainwash, to get into a place where when the plagues begin, they're going to have that mindset where they're not going to be able to find, there's going to be a famine in the land in regards to the scriptures. And so that's happening now. He's getting them manipulated. He's getting them ready to be reprobate in mind. And so, and at the same time, our Lord Jesus Christ is getting us ready to go forth in a very loud cry to help those that are on the fence to jump over to the proper side. So anyway, finishing this here in Jeremiah, it says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, I know, where they're saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. You know, there's no reason to teach, especially when it comes part of the Gideon band, right? So from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. But for those poor souls that allow their pastors to dictate their faith instead of the Lord of the Bible, because that's what most of them do. They think that they're Christians because they go to church once a week. And they figure, well, since the pastor went to school for anywhere from 4 to 12 years to learn all his theology and get that alphabet soup after his name to call himself a doctor of divinity, I'm going to trust that guy. You know, it's the age of convenience. They're going to figure, he'll do the Bible reading for me, and I'll just trust him. Well, that was prophesied. And that's what they're doing. And that's why there's going to be a famine in the land. And that's why they're going to become children of disobedience, because they're trusting those who disobey to teach them. As Jesus said, they're blind leading the blind. That's all they're doing. I mean, they have no idea what we speak. And so they must be taught every man his neighbor, because the law of God appears as a Jewish thing to them, even though it states plainly in Psalms 103:20 that long before a Jew was ever even born, the angels in heaven kept the law of God. I mean, seriously, common sense dictates that. How could Satan, who was an angel, fallen, but he was still an angel at this time, his name was Lucifer back then, but how could Satan be cast from heaven as a blatant sinner if the law was not already in force? See, it's basic realities, and it's kind of like rubber hit the road theology. It's like Christianity 101, stuff like that, that even, you know, doctors of divinity are going to miss because they're children of disobedience. They were taught by those that disobey as well. And so like the world, like with the Mensa movement, like for a good example, they think because they got all this trivial knowledge in their brain that because they got a high IQ, anybody can get a high IQ. I had one when I was young. I don't know. I haven't tested it in many, many years. But it was all encyclopedia theology. Or not theology, of information, let's just put it that way. Anybody can get a high IQ if you just read a couple of encyclopedias, you know, watch the news. You know, today's IQs are based on worldly things. Well, whoop-dee-doo, what's that going to do for you when you get home to heaven? You're going to be a spiritual dwarf if you do make it home. But still, you're making it home. Praise God. Now, if you make it, that, you know, like the thief on the cross, he's got a lot. He's going to be going to school for a long time. I mean, the Bible says clearly that we're going to be studying the scriptures throughout all eternity. This is all of us, okay? Even those guys, if they happen to make it, the ones that are claiming to be doctors of divinity, even those guys are going to have to, they're going to realize, wow, did I mess up? You talk about unlearning. Like Fran and I, when we left the Catholic Church, 10 years later we found out about the Sabbath and what the real mark of the beast was and stuff like that. I mean, we knew who Antichrist was. I mean, I was talking about him all over the place on the streets. It's one of the reasons I was disowned. One of 11 kids, no more. Because all my siblings, all my, you know, friends and relatives are all Catholic. So, but it's just obvious. This is what we see in Scripture. And so the Jews are not like I was saying, you know, a minute ago, they all think it's a Jewish thing. Well, Jesus was Jewish. I mean, you're going to follow him. And if you want to go to that kind of a mindset, but again, the angels kept the law. I mean, seriously, Satan couldn't have been kicked out unless the law was in force. And I mean, after all, is it not declared in 1 John 3:4 that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. They all know what sin means, and some of them will actually admit they know how to define sin. Even after the cross, you know, 2,000 years later, they'll say, well, how do you define sin? Well, sin is, you know, breaking the law of God. Well, then how can you say it was abolished at the cross? And 1 John 3:4 was written decades after the cross. Okay, all right. And so how do you get around this? And so, yes, there are two types of people depicted in Scripture, as the study goes on to say here. those that walk in the light and understand the truth because it was written in their hearts as promised, and those that stumble around in the dark, allowing their blind leaders to guide them into the ditch without so much as an inkling of the truth that is easily understood by babes that accept Jesus Christ as Lord. I mean, that's amazing. We have children and babes in Christ. You could be 80 years old and be a babe. But we have young ones in the faith that know more about the truth than a doctor of divinity, because they base all what they learned and understand on what, on book learning. Like I always say, the 18-inch problem. They got it all between the ears and nothing between the ribs. You know, it's about 18 inches between the brain and the chest, where the heart is. All right, let's see if we can jump in the next one here. We still got 10 minutes left. Okay. Number two, it says, the children of the night or of darkness are also identified by what other two names? And then Luke 16, verse 8 says this. And the Lord commendeth the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For children of this world are in this generation wiser than the children of light. I remember doing a sermon on this one many, many years ago, because a lot of people have a hard time understanding this. Why would the Lord say that? Well, you know, they use their worldly means and methods a lot more effectively than the children of God use their spiritual methods, their spiritual blessings and gifts. Sad state of affairs, but in Romans 9:8 says this. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And that's part of that, you know, replacement theology thing too. Because and this is so painfully and heart-rendingly obvious that the children of the night are in fact those that love the world and the flesh more than the creator of it all. In fact, this is why homosexuality has become not only legalized today, it has become sanctified by all the apostate churches of the world. And why is that? Notice the last 12 verses of Romans chapter 1. I mean, it literally describes today's generation with uncanny accuracy. And what the Pope just did the other day, yesterday, when I put that, that video yesterday, I got that article yesterday morning, and the video was saying something, the Pope was saying that they finally decided, okay, let's take a test, and they choose to do this in Brazil, one of the most promiscuous nations on earth. But then one of the reasons is also because it's over 80% Roman Catholic, and so they got a little bit pull there. But they're going to allow priests to get married in Brazil just to test the waters. And we know there's an underlying issue here because 98% of the Vatican's homosexual anyway. So, you know, there's a reason for all this, but I'm not going to get into that because I did that in the video. I don't want to cover, you know, redundancy, if you will. But Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 32, check it out. It says this, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen. See, a lot of people, even the atheists, have a hard time with this, but I says, okay, fine, let's go out to the woods and you point at any tree you want and you show me how it's made. They can't do it, you know. So, well, then you got to admit there's a creator. But then they'll him and haw this and all the other stuff. But anyway, it goes on, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, this is going to be one of those rough awakenings that has to deal with that weeping and gnashing of teeth at the end of the 1,000 years. The weeping, of course, is all the Christians who thought they were Christians, you know, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 types. They're going to be weeping. They're going to be weeping loud. But the ones that are gnashing their teeth are the ones that are really upset. They're kind of like, you know, like some of the political leaders of today, including the popes and what, because they're just political monsters, if you want the reality of it all. But they're gnashing their teeth because they want to live forever. They love the power of controlling things on this one dinky little planet. They forget about looking up and seeing all the trillions of galaxies up there that they can literally call home. We own it all. Frank and I were talking about this yesterday because we were watching this one video about going to Orion and back, and then this other video where they were showing all just what we can observe from Hubble, all these trillions and trillions of galaxies, and each galaxy has billions of stars, and out of those billions of stars, who knows how many solar systems and planets and whatnot. And so all of it's ours. We don't even have to go to a real estate agent and ask them, you know, can we buy this? No, we own it all. When we get home, that's our playground. Okay, granted, we'll have to be here in the city, on Sabbath day every week, but that's not a problem. I mean, look at how quickly the angels went from heaven to the den. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, by the time they tossed him, They went home to heaven to tell the Lord what was going down. He gave them the okay to shut the lion's mouth, and before Daniel hit the ground, the lion's mouths had been shut because the angels came back and took care of it. So they can travel pretty quickly. So they're all without excuse. In other words, eventually, even the ones that are gnashing their teeth are going to realize that, okay, even the atheists, and we do have atheists in our number, well, ex-atheists, obviously, because they finally came across, you know, after much prayer, as we do pray for everybody out there, see, one of the reasons there's atheists is because of the cookie-cutter religion or churchianity or preachertainment. They're all doing the same thing. It's like going to McDonald's here in America and then going to McDonald's in China. It's the same menu. It's everything's the same. Well, they might have a little bit different things on the menu, but it's all the same structure. It's a franchise, right? It's all going to be the same thing. That's how the churches are run today. They all went kundalini thing, with the slap in the forehead thing, as well as the Willow Creek movement that Bill Clinton and his buddy Bill Hybels got together and came up with the mega churches, because then you have more control over the people if you have control over the churches. This is one of the reasons the 501c3 was allowed to go forward and make all the churches government agents on July 6, 2007, and then Trump just solidified it on May 4th of this year to prevent the IRS from slapping our wrists. Because the prophecy said the church leaders are going to have to create the perfect image of the beast in Rome, which is a church and state conglomerate where they can lobby law. And now they can. So everything's happened, just like the Bible said. So that affects even atheists, because they go to all these churches, and the reason they became atheists is because they're all saying the same thing. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. They all know those are not real Christians. It was Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, even though they don't even know Isaiah said that. They all look at this and say, this is ridiculous. This denomination fights that denomination, and that one fights this one, but they're all the same. And so this is, forget this noise, you know, they're all atheists. And then they came across some of the truth we preach, and so far two have joined our numbers, so praise the Lord. Because they're heavy thinkers, you know. That's one thing I noticed about atheists. They like to, you know, really, you know, think. Anyway, going on, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. And this is one of the things that I was discussing the other day again with Fran. We were talking about this, how the angels can't contemplate how stupid we are. When they think about every breath they take, every step they make, every corpuscle in their body, every atom that's within them is because of He that created them. But yet we're down here calling ourselves self-made men and women. Like we're all that. It's all about us. And God had nothing to do with this. Please. I mean, even a super intelligent angel knows what you just said is ridiculous. So going on. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. I should have just kept reading. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, you know, like that. One of the reasons the Catholic Church removed commandment number 2 from their catechisms. I know I used to teach catechism for the Catholic Church. That commandment's not there. That's why commandment number 10 is split in 2 in their books. So anyway, wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanliness, and this is one of the reasons. Now you see what you see in Roman Catholicism. Because this, from when they went forward and did this and started blaspheming God and going spiritually insane, check out what happens and what's the end result of this. It says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It's homosexuality. Going on. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Now, not only do they do that to each other, the churches are taught to do that to their pastors. They all become pastor echoes. These wolves stand before them as pastors. They trust them more than the written word, because none of them read their Bibles, like I was talking about earlier in regards to Amos. So they don't read their Bibles. They trust these guys. They worship, which means obey. They worship and serve that pastor more than the Creator of him, who is blessed forever. Amen, right? Isn't that what it says here? So going on, it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, and for even their women did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, we can't read hearts. Our Father can. So until the plagues start falling, we don't know who's reprobate standing in front of us. When those plagues start, well, yeah, then it's a piece of cake to figure that one out. So going on, it says, to those, Okay, my mouse is kind of like crash. Okay, it's back. So let me backtrack. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. I mean, just listen to what I'm saying, what I'm reading. This is today's world. All right? Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Again, well, I don't want to get into that, but implacable, unmerciful, who knowing. Now, here is this one last verse here is what I call Jerry Springer theology. You know what I mean after I read it. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And what I mean by that is, if you ever, because years ago when I used to live up near Chicago, Jerry Springer Show was more or less set up in Chicago, and it's no mistake that an ex-congressman was the one running it. Jerry Springer was running for office many times. He actually had some political office. He was placed with a duty to do, to really cause decadence to really flow. The people in the audience know what the people on the stage are doing and is disgusting, and they know it's all evil, it's sinful, but they all applaud. They laugh. They have a good old time and see, and they enjoy it. Or, as the Bible says, they have pleasure in them that do them. That's today's world, and this is why we have a lot of work to do. And I hope and pray that you are blessed. I'll be back in a minute.